Good morning, Emmanuel. To this, our first service after our second lockdown for coronavirus 19. These really are extraordinary times, but hopefully they will end soon. Welcome also to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it will help you to feel part of our service. Our service today will be led by our minister, Robert Jordan. The reader this morning will be myself, Eddie Thomas. Notices are in the weekly news. And now I will light the Christ candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning and welcome all of you. It's good to see you. We know that you're there, but to see you is different from guessing who's around. So it's delightful. We don't know why the heating was put on yesterday, but it's temperamental. It responds to its own whims, and it isn't as warm as we thought it was going to be, but for next week, we hope it will be more comforting to you all. Our first service, Advent service, was the one that we recorded in this church, a few of us, and was released through the Facebook page and the web page. And we are delighted that, because it also went to the partnership, so we're delighted, a number of very positive comments on it. We did light an Advent candle then, but none of you saw it, so that's why today they aren't lit. And next week we'll go back to the traditional way of doing things, and when you get to church there will be candles lit. But today you can see them being lit. Last week you just had to hear of them being lit. Psalm 85 calls us to worship. Lord, you forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. In this promise, which connects and relates to the message of John the Baptist that we will hear today, we begin our worship in the building after the second lockdown, as Eddie said just now. And we hear the words of the hymn, "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry."
Thank you.
So we'll light the Advent candles. The first one is to remind us of the prophets, and the second for John the Baptist, who called people to change their way of living to prepare for the coming of Christ.
Thank you, Helen and Eddie. The second lockdown came to an end, and we entered into tiers, the difference being that we are now in tier two instead of tier one. And the implications for our meeting on a Sunday morning haven't changed too much, but there is one big difference, and that is in tier two, we're not supposed to linger in the building after the service unless you're in a family bubble. That means to say you can only chat to people you've been chatting to all week. And that is a slight difference. So what we want to mention is when you come into the building, you come in ones or twos probably. When you leave in an orderly fashion, but don't stay chatting inside the building, please. The result of that is that Liz has individual boots, car boot sale for Tradecraft. The car, it's in the organist bay, just outside there. Liz has got Tradecraft that she is offering to people. It's in the weekly news, the reality being that a store cannot be put up because it would get people coming, and we couldn't have that. So it's there for people who would like to see cards and products that Fair Trade has. There is one big difference between the printed newsletter and the electronic newsletter. So if you can access the electronic newsletter, which will be on the webpage of the church, is that for those who are interested in following the service, the Thanksgiving service for John Dean, when this went to print, I didn't have the details, but it is included in the electronic version of the weekly news. So please accept that if you are interested in following the service. It will be live streamed. It's at the crematorium, Kingsdown Crematorium, this coming Friday at 12 o'clock midday. And on a totally different or connected, I just want to share with you the shock that Highworth lived this week when Sunday morning one of our elders at Highworth, Margaret Parker, died quite unexpectedly. She'd been an elder non-stop since 2004. Her mother had been an elder of the church before her, so strong connection. And in a little church like Highworth, where things haven't been easy all year, the notice of her death was a shock to us all. So please remember the people of Highworth at this stage, because they will value your prayers, I can assure you. Our prayer of thanksgiving and confession, and we end with the Lord's Prayer, in as much as we can say it all together, even if it's in a very mumbling, soft way, the Spirit will communicate to God our prayer. Let us pray. We're here again in the building, and where that was quite a common event, it is something we celebrate and treasure because we realize it means a lot to us, so we thank you. Even if we are in tears and a different one, but we are in the same building and we can celebrate this time. And we are reminded of those who can't be here for different reasons. And we ask you to be with them wherever they are. But thank you for your constant love, for your caring, for being a God of close, not the distant, indifferent, but the God who knows what we are going through, what we need, and what we celebrate. We thank you that the church, over the centuries, over the millennia, has been a presence in the world, and even when we can't meet, we are still there. As was mentioned this week in a meeting I was at, dear God, and you heard it as well, Christmas hasn't been cancelled. It's just going to happen in a different way. We thank you that in this second Sunday of Advent, we can light the candles, that in the weakness of a candle being lit, darkness no longer has power. Remind us of that continuously. We thank you for those who love us, who care for us, who remind us that life keeps going and that we aren't alone. And in your grace and in your mercy, we pray, forgive us. Forgive us for those things we have not done. Forgive us for the things that we have done and done wrong. Forgive us when we don't want to change our ways. Forgive us, O Lord, if we forget that in the birth of Jesus you came to a troubled world, just as troubled as this, and that you chose to be born in the frailty, in the distance, in the unknown, and yet it changed the world. So may we hold strong to that promise of yours, that in Jesus all things will be made new. And begin with us. Make us new so that we can make the world new. To you be all honor and glory this day and every day. And as your children, we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now hear the reading for this morning.
The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1. Verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The readings last Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, were the prophets. Often, John is called the last prophet of the Old Testament rather than the New Testament proclaimer. His image, his words, his message is more connected probably to the Old Testament than it is to the New Testament. But whatever we think, he certainly is a bridge between what was and what is to come. Interesting that Jesus picks up that when they criticize him. He says, oh, John, he fasted, he behaved like this, and he did that, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and you criticized him, he says to the Pharisees. And then I come and I go to weddings and I transform water into wine, and I celebrate with people, and you criticize me. In a way, they're saying, can you make up your mind what you're going to take and what you're going to leave? And that's the image. He's a bridge between two ways, two moments, and we're on that journey. And we may be crossing the bridge, even though it's 2,000 years afterwards. John connects the expectations of the past with the good news that lies ahead. It's important to remember that the Gospel of Mark is the first gospel to be put into writing. It's the shortest, it has no birth narratives, it even ends at verse 8 in chapter 16. Some people add a few verses afterwards, with a very dramatic ending after the crucifixion. He doesn't go into details, he has no angels singing, he has no travel, there's no infancy. And that's why it's so interesting to see how he begins the gospel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. He also chooses to begin with the prophet. And everything that follows in the 16 chapters that come after this is an explanation of that first sentence. The good news, the gospel. Because that's what gospel means, the Son of God, Jesus. John calls the people to turn their lives around, to look forward to the one who is to come. Advent, what is to come? That's what Advent is. John points out, I'm not the one. Don't look at me, I'm just preparing the way. It's not me. The one who is to come is greater than I am. And he also says that he baptizes with water, and the one who is to come is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus never baptizes. There is not one person in Jesus' ministry that has been baptized by him. So I have the suspicion that in a way, what John is doing is pointing towards not only Jesus, but what will come after Jesus. He talks of he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come after the resurrection. So in that first sentence, it's not only the ministry of Jesus, it's the development of the church. Everything that will come is summed up in that first sentence of the Gospel of Mark. That is why John speaks of the baptism of repentance, a total turning around of life. The new opportunity to live in a different way, a way closer to God's vision. And that's where we are now. This is what we're trying to do. This is why Advent is crucial to us. A good preparation of Advent would lead us not only to Christmas, but to every day that follows beyond. This is also a text that invites us to hope. To believe that in the midst of darkness, of difficulties, of suffering, of persecution, because that is what the listeners of Mark's gospel are going through when he writes to them. And he says, there is a promise of life abundant. There is a promise of life that is lit by the flame that will never go out. Life does have a meaning. And the first listeners of the gospel were amazed. Nobody had spoken like that. There hadn't been a prophet in Israel for about 500, 400 years. And suddenly this guy appears with the wildest diet you can imagine, dressed in a way that nobody would be dressed, and drawing multitudes. They felt that something here made sense. And they were the marginalized, the persecuted. And that is what the coming of Jesus is all about. I've always been grateful that in the midst of Advent, we have the 10th of December. And the 10th of December is the International Day for Human Rights. Because I feel that even for those people who have no faith at all or have different faith, that is, in a way, the significance that we can point to of what Christmas is about. This church every Sunday lights the amnesty candle. Next Sunday, in a tradition that's gone long before I got here, at Highworth URC, they have, I've seen it already, a table set out where every member of the congregation is going to sign cards of support to prisoners of conscience. And since I've got there, they choose two people who come from Spanish background and they ask me to write something in Spanish for them. But the churches I am serving as minister that have this idea, this consciousness of this is something that is worth, something that is important. And we believe that there's a deep connection between that barbed wire that surrounds the light and Jesus' message of what Christmas is all about, the promise of life, even if surrounded by barbed wire, even if surrounded by sadness, by bad news, by difficulty, by isolation, the promise of a vaccine, the telephone call or the Christmas card that makes a difference, the rights of people that Jesus presented to us are one of the reasons that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948 came into existence. And if you read it, you will find so much connected to what Jesus is talking about. So on this Sunday of Advent, the second Sunday of Advent, let us give ourselves time to consider what we need to change about, what we need to repent about as individuals and as churches. A time to consider being light in the darkness, a sign of hope in despair. In this sense, the second Sunday of Advent is a challenge to live differently. And that's what John the Baptist is all about. To him be the glory, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. we join in prayer of intercession, and I let you know that this prayer is inspired by something written for Advent by John Pritchard, who was at one time Bishop of Oxford. Let us pray. Lord, prepare us during this Advent for your coming. Help us to reflect, to think, not only of ourselves, but wider. Prepare us for your coming in the church. For the much used phrase the churches over the centuries have used, we've always done it this way. Dear God, this year we can't use that phrase. We have found that things have not been as usually done. We've done things differently, or we haven't done them at all. But we know, dear God, that somewhere in the building, be it physical or in our lives, there is a clutter. Old habits that we know die hard. Drawers where we have kept our prejudice until we meet again. Cobwebs of compromise. Rotas that have not been carried out. Open our church to the free flow of your refreshing spirit, so that we may see what we have not yet seen and accept the challenge, probably to do things in a different way. Give us a new vision of hope. Lord, prepare us for your coming in the world. Drive away despair from our policies, or selfishness, or pride, or the belief that we are better than others. We can see that all over the place. Revive our dreams of justice. Restore our passion for what is good, right, and true. For all those places where there is despair and violence and war and hatred, people living displaced or having to leave their homes. O Lord, may the wind of the Spirit blow all that is not supposed to be away, and may new life settle on the soil of this planet. Lord, prepare us for your coming in our own community, in the problems in our locality, on empty shops, people who have lost their jobs, people who are afraid about their jobs, people whose income has been drastically reduced, people who don't know where their next meal is coming from, people who are sleeping in windy, drafty corridors on the outside of buildings. Help us, O Lord, to help those who are doing things for change. May love heal the social ills which drag us into despair. Lord, prepare us for your coming, for those in need. Give us eyes to search the face of the stranger and to see there the face of the Savior. Help us to recognize the little we can do that will make a difference through who we are, what we do, what we own, and how we can share. For those who are ill, for those who are in hospital, for those that are lonely, for those that are afraid, for those that have lost loved ones. O Lord, at this time, in this silence, we put all this into your hands. Advent, Lord, come near. Make our faith younger. Strengthen our legs, our arms, our heart, our eyes, our passion for you. Open us to your glory and be with those who are struggling. And may your peace lead our thoughts, our words, and our actions. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Don't ask me why there are words underlined. I haven't a clue. It just happened. Just to let you know that the services of the next two Sundays that follow, between both services, we will have the closest we can get to this structure of the lessons and carols, candles by daylight candles, the candlelight service in the evening. So between them both, you should have more or less the readings, the hymns, and the carols that you would have had at other times. Just to let you know what to expect. And I forgot to put it in the order of service, but we dedicate the offering before we have the blessing. Lord, what has been put in the plate and what we give through standing orders in different ways, use, please, time, talents, and our possessions so that they may shine a light in this world to show your love working through us. May it be multiplied to the glory of your name. Amen. And our words of blessing today. We travel in time. May God walk with us into eternity. We travel in hope. May God sing with us through the darkness. We travel in wonder. May God dance with us in holy joy. So may the blessing of God, of the God of glory, traveler, storyteller, dancer, be with us today and every day. Amen.